This is Williams versus City of Lincoln, and is it Mr. Dorwart?
Yes.
You may approach.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. Tom Dorwart, may please the court, Tom Dorwart on behalf of appellants Gerard Williams and Williams. This is an opportunity for the court. We don't have extensive case law on the discretionary function immunity, and this is an opportunity for the court to really adjudicate whether we're going to protect the state at all costs and give them full or complete immunity, or protect the citizens of the state. I won't get into the facts too in depth, but this involves a bike accident on what we consider a shared use path, but which was a sidewalk, where the citizen appellant had every right to be there. Outside of downtown Lincoln, it's allowed to ride. You're allowed to ride a bike on the sidewalk, and she collided with a low-hanging tree branch and was significantly injured. And it has lasting impact injuries to this day.
Just for clarification, this was not a designated bike path, right?
Well, that's a disputed fact. We argue that it was. The sign was on a street on a pole on the grass in between the street and the sidewalk. And our clients, in their depositions, both testified that they thought the path was the sidewalk. And in any case, the Lincoln Municipal Code, as I said, allows for biking on sidewalks outside of downtown. So there are three issues that I believe the court would consider today based on the order. And first, I'd like to mention that we'd renew our argument that the judge should have recused herself as adjudicating. She's a Lancaster County District Court judge and was adjudicating based on the City of Lincoln. She should have recused herself to avoid the appearance of impropriety or impartiality.
Or partiality.
Code of Judicial Conduct doesn't require a motion. In the comments of Rule 5103, it doesn't require a motion, and you can raise it at any time, and we raise it in our brief.
If that's true, let's say the defendant was the state of Nebraska, there wouldn't be a judge in Nebraska that could hear the case.
That's true, but in this case it's not, so we would argue that it could be
different. I mean you got to analyze it the same way, don't you?
I would analyze in that they could easily bring in a judge from outside of the county, from another district.
Well, who are the judges actually paid by? Are they paid by the state as opposed to the city?
Yes. Yeah. Well.
Really, who are they an employee of? Aren't they an employee of the state, not the city?
Sure. Well, our argument was that she's a taxpayer in the city, and she.
Aren't we all?
Sure. So. Well, I'll get into the three other main issues with whether this is a discretionary duty, whether it's the type of discretionary duty that the statute was designed to shield, or whether they also had a non-discretionary duty. We argue it was not a discretionary duty because it was not a policy decision. They provided no policy analysis. There's no judgment or choice involved. The statute is mandatory in 15.734 that the city has a duty to maintain a reasonably safe and open sidewalk. So if we even disregard the tree issue, this was not an open sidewalk. She collided with the tree over the sidewalk.
Do you have any authority that statute applies to things that are overhanging the sidewalk as opposed to defects in the sidewalk itself?
Well, the statute, as far as I know, it doesn't specify whether it's defects in the sidewalk or whether it's overhanging the sidewalk. It just says reasonably safe and open. And our expert witness, Expert Short, testified that this was unreasonably and hazardous, and it wasn't reasonably safe and open.
And what was the area of expertise for that witness?
She was a landscape architect, and she has done a lot of work on sidewalks and buildings and new building code and outdoor sidewalks as well. So then we would argue that this was not a policy decision, and this was also not the type of discretionary duty that was designed to be protected by the statute. In the Tadros case, that involved pedestrian clearance intervals. They followed did not follow a manual that set the pedestrian walkway clearance intervals at certain time lengths. And in this case, there was community forestry guidelines that were cited by our expert, by Expert Short, and that had a clearance interval of 9 feet. This tree was overgrown as low as 3 feet over the trail. Secondly, the function, discretionary function immunity, was not designed to shield a case like this. The Gualo case involved a defect in a parking lot. The reason the court held that the discretionary function immunity didn't apply in that case was because there was ample time to discover the defect. It existed for such a length of time that that with reasonable diligence, the city could have discovered that it existed. And so that leads us to our next argument, that there was constructive notice in this case, so there was a non-discretionary duty. There's non-discretionary duty because we cited several cases in our brief, a New York case, Foles, and then a case in Iowa, Schmitz, which also involved constructive notice, where the officers of the city have a reasonable duty to conduct reasonable diligence to make sure that their public avenues are reasonably safe and open. In this case, there was literally no inspection. Basically, in their affidavit, which they used to testify as to their policy, they just abstained from inspection.
Didn't they have a 6-year policy or 6 or 7 year inspection?
I don't. As far as I recall, it didn't have a time frame, but the affidavit stated, and you might be correct on that, but they. Basically, if so, they abstained for 6 years. The testimony from expert Short was that this tree was overgrown for 2 to 3 years because there's evidence, and this is a genuine issue of material fact, that the three trees adjacent to it had been pruned. So it's a disputed fact as to who trimmed those trees, and
well,
we argue.
Wait, how can that be disputed? I mean, it wasn't the testimony that three of the trees had been trimmed, and then the state's testimony, we weren't the ones who trimmed them.
Well, we never cross-examined the witnesses. We didn't get to that point because it was an issue on summary judgment, and we argue that it was their duty, and they didn't provide any evidence of who did trim them. They didn't provide any evidence. They didn't discuss, talk to a neighbor. They don't have evidence that a neighbor trimmed them. It was their duty to do so, and even if they say they didn't trim them, they had ample time to notice the defective tree, which was overgrown for 2 to 3 years. If they, with reasonable diligence and reasonable inspection, they would have noticed that it was overgrown, much like the parking lot in Igualo, that it was argued that was for 2 to 3 years it had been eroded, and there was a problem with the parking lot. So with reasonable diligence, they would have discovered that there was a defect. And lastly, I'll point you to the case of Schmitz in Iowa. It was a case involving also a bike trail. And that case involved asphalt that was higher than the shoulder in the road. That case cited that cost alone is not a justification for the social, economic, or political discretionary immunity function exemption. And one of the city's main arguments is that the budgetary concerns and the time, because of the thousands of the trees in the city, allow them to basically opt out from inspecting the trees and from noticing that this tree is severely overgrown. Well, the case law in Iowa, and I would argue is fairly persuasive, is very clear that that cost alone cannot justify this exception. Otherwise, virtually every case would qualify for immunity. One last point I would make is that in the Doe versus Omaha Public Schools case, a Rule 12b-6 motion, a motion for summary judgment, cannot be granted on this affirmative defense unless it is clear from the pleading of the plaintiff that this affirmative defense is at issue. And we didn't raise any policy issue in our complaint. We're not saying that this is negligence in the performance of a policy or decision making of a policy. We're saying it's negligence in the failure to notice a defect despite ample opportunity to discover the defect. I'll reserve my rest of my time for rebuttal.
All right, thank you. Ms. Elliott?
Yes, thank you. Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Elliott, and I represent the City of Lincoln in this matter. Under the Nebraska Political Subdivision Tort Claims Act, the state legislature has carved out a number of immunities. And over the years, as they've reviewed these immunities, they've determined that there is a presumption against waiver of sovereign immunity, and that the Tort Claims Act should be strictly construed in favor of the political subdivision. In this case, the facts fall squarely within three of those immunities. Here, the court focused on one. The discretionary function immunity. under the discretionary function immunity, there are three elements. The first one, as Mr. Dorwart mentioned earlier, is that it extends only to basic policy decisions. It does not apply to ministerial functions. And in 2007, the Nebraska Supreme Court gave examples of discretionary acts in Doe versus Omaha Public School Districts. There, they mentioned that initiation of programs and activities is a discretionary act. Establishments of plans and schedules is a discretionary act. And judgmental decisions where the regulatory framework lacks specific standards is a discretionary function. And that's exactly what is presented here in this case. There are state statutes and local ordinances that say the city of Lincoln has a duty to maintain trees. There's also kind of a collateral issue here is that they also have a duty to maintain sidewalks. Here, Ms. Gerard Williams and her husband, Mr. Williams, were riding bicycles on a sidewalk. We disagree with the fact that the plaintiffs categorized this as a shared use path. In the Ms. Schwartz deposition, it's clear that under the ASHTO standards, the shared use path is 8 feet wide, and here is a typical sidewalk, it was only 5 feet. So the other indication that it was not a shared use path is that the street was a designated bike path and that the Williamses chose to ride on the sidewalk. And so one of the other regulatory frameworks is to maintain the sidewalks, which is under the 15734. Neither the sidewalks or the tree maintenance provide specifics onto how a city is to maintain. They just say, it's your duty, you maintain it, figure out how. And what the City of Lincoln Forestry Division did was they took into consideration a number of factors. They looked at the number of trees that are within the City of Lincoln, over 112,000 trees that cover over 96 square miles. Combined that with the growth factors of trees. Not every tree grows at the same time, same speed. That combined with the budgetary and personnel resources. Take all of that together, they ultimately determined that their maintenance program was going to be on a complaint basis. They were going to take the complaints that came in from the community as priorities first, and then do routine inspections, filling in those.
Was there a time, and maybe I'm misremembering, was there not a time frame of when they inspected every tree?
They do it somewhere between approximately 6 to 10 years. Okay. If you look at
it. Is that in the record?
The best explanation I can see, it's not clear in the record, but there is Summary Judgment Exhibit 13, Exhibit 16, which is that one-page pamphlet of the street tree pruning cycle. On there it says it could be as long as 11 years. And I would submit to the court that's probably the clearest record of that, is it could be up to 11 years. And that the rest is really scheduled around complaint prioritization. What's the most severe? What poses the most imminent danger and risk to the community? And to analogize that to the sidewalk issues, in the Nebraska Supreme Court realized in Hill versus the City of Lincoln in 1996 that it is unrealistic for the city to immediately discover every defect in its sidewalks. So the court reached a compromise by still requiring reasonable diligence by the city, but noting that the city is not a general insurer of pedestrians. The city's not required to go out searching for all of these defects. And it's clear here that there was not actual notice.
So I'm starting to get confused. I want to make
I'm
sure
sorry.
I understand this. No, it's me. You start with the premise this falls under the ambit of judgmental decisions within a broad regulatory framework.
Correct.
And then you acknowledge that this is one of those. The city has a duty or an obligation to maintain its trees or its sidewalks,
correct.
Right?
Yes.
So does that mean that if there's one that needs to be maintained but they don't maintain it, that fits within their judgment? If they opted not to maintain it, that's it, discretionary function, you can't be sued for that?
I think there is still a side of the reasonable diligence. that there has to be some indication to the city that there is a concern. It's impossible for them to go out and inspect every single tree. So they've got this program. They do the best that they can. They take that in with the complaints. Some things like this tree are going to slip through, but I don't believe that makes them fall outside the scope of the
community. So there's a diligence component to that prong. So it's not that they can exercise their judgment or they have to have some level of diligence?
I think that would be fair. I think that's a fair interpretation, that there would be some reasonable diligence on part of the city. And
do we have any cases that get into that depth as it relates to that prong?
I would say the Hill versus City of Lincoln, as well as McGinn versus City of Omaha. McGinn is a tree case, much like this, and that issue on that one was what they called the windshield inspections, where the City of Omaha foresters were basically driving down the streets, and unless something jumped out at them, they weren't getting out of their vehicles to check.
Is that the Fallen Lynn case?
Yes, okay. It is. And there they said that a very similar inspection program, such as the City of Lincoln's, was acceptable, because given the number of trees, the size of the city, and the resources available to them, that was reasonable diligence, that was acceptable. They did have a program. They did the best they could. Yes, they're going to miss a few things. That's just, it's impossible not to. And the court found that was enough. So I would submit to you that those two cases, it is discussed, and I believe the courts have said this system falls directly within that reasonable diligence.
So in matters like this involving judgmental decisions,
yes,
as long as they exercise reasonable diligence, then it falls within the ambit of discretionary function. But if they don't exercise reasonable diligence, it's not a discretionary function?
No, I believe it's part of the discretionary function, but I think what that would go to would go more towards the kind of more of the element three, whether or not we would have had a duty to warn, and the duty to see if it's readily apparent and to take steps to fix it. The immunity, it's not clear. I would submit that issue has not been addressed, but I think it does fall in whether or not a duty to warn then arises.
If there's a requirement of reasonable diligence, then, and then we have, at least according to Mr. Dorwart, we have testimony from the plaintiff's expert that this growth would have been there for 2 to 3 years.
Right.
Doesn't that create a material issue of fact as to whether there was reasonable diligence?
I don't believe so. And I disagree with the plaintiff's characterization. If you look at their expert's deposition and the exhibits there, specifically exhibit, it'd be exhibit 11, pages 3 and 7. She provided some aerial views of these trees. And one of the most recent, this incident happened September of 2015. There is an aerial view there of October of 2014, 11 months before. And I would submit to the court that it appears from that picture that tree is not overgrown. So that is less than a year, where it appears that the tree, based on that image provided by their expert, was not overgrown. So that only leaves 11 months. And I would submit to the court that's more than reasonable for the city not to be able to catch that with an 11-month period, given the wintertime, the spring. There's no evidence whatsoever in the record of how fast this tree grows. Ms. Short, who is not an arborist or a forester and has absolutely no agricultural experience, cannot say, and she testifies, I don't know how quickly that tree grew. Trees, like humans, grow at very different rates. You could grow 1 inch 1 year and 5 inches in 5 months. There is no evidence in the record that shows how quickly that is. That picture is the best reference that we have, and that's only an 11-month period. And I think that was reasonable for the city to not have notice of that one. And so with that, we would ask the court to affirm the trial court's ruling and grant the City of Lincoln summary judgment. Thank you.
Thank you. How much time did we go over? Okay, please add that.
How
to
many?
Mr. Dorwart's time.
19.
Well, I think you have a little more time. How much total time is he?
Minute 15.
Minute 15.
Thank you, Your Honor. We would dispute the 11-month categorization of how long it was overgrown. Expert Short testified that it was 2 to 3 years. It's difficult to tell from the aerial photograph, and the three trees, again, that were adjacent to it were pruned, and she testified that those were, I mean, they're the same tree. They're likely growing at the same rate. I mean, a tree doesn't just sprout an extra branch in 2 months. So I would cite to you the case of Anderson versus the City of Albion. That is a Supreme Court case. It's old, I believe early 1902, 1904, but it's never been overturned. It's in response to their issue of their policy that they take it on a complaint basis. The Anderson versus the City of Albion states that the city officials are not to wait until a defect attains notoriety in the city before they exercise reasonable diligence. They don't have to, in other words, wait until everybody in the city is talking about it or a few people are talking about it. Otherwise, that puts the burden back on the citizen, Ms. Gerard Williams and Mr. Williams, to rely on a neighbor or to themselves. They testified they had never been to this path before or this sidewalk before, to rely on somebody else to call it into the city. The city has the duty to have a reasonably safe and open sidewalk, and this was anything but that. The city also had ample time to discover this, 2 to 3 years, and basically, if 11 years is the standard there for inspecting trees, that is basically exercising no diligence. They can just sit back and opt out and decide we're just not going to do anything about trees for 11 years.
Thank you, Mr. Dorr.
Thanks.
The case will be taken under submission, and the decision will be rendered. Parties are excused.